Thank you for downloading the Broadmead Community Church Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy it.
So this week we're going to carry on with our series. And we're going to be talking about intercession. I don't know whether many of you know what intercession actually means. So first of all, that's what I'm going to sort out. So the word intercession, when I was younger, used to scare me. I used to think it was this big, scary word. It brought up images in my head of people huddled together praying furiously, or people shouting out loud aggressively, or people holed up in a room together just not giving up until God, you know, someone decided that God had answered their prayer or something. And that kind of prayer I found quite scary. And I'm just going to take a step back because I didn't pray before I started and I should have done. And I'm talking about prayer. And so I'm just going to go back to the beginning and start again, if that's okay. Father God, we just ask that you would just come this morning. Lord, as we talk about prayer, I pray that you would just open our eyes, just simplify it for us. Prayer sometimes seems a complicated thing, but Lord, we just pray that this morning you would just help us to see that it's not. And yeah, I just pray that you would just speak through me this morning. I pray as we go forwards. So intercession, as I said, the word scares me. It always has brought up images of things that I just could never really get my head around. And none of the ideas of prayer really kind of inspired me to want to be an intercessor. You know, I knew it was one of the gifts that you could have. And so many years ago, someone in my home group said to me, she said, "Mary, you're an intercessor." I thought, "No, I'm not. Don't say that to me. I don't want to be an intercessor." And I kind of replied half laughing, "Oh, well, I can't be an intercessor. I can't even pray out loud," because at the time, praying out loud was a really scary thing for me to do. I was kind of horrified by the idea. My prayers were short, quiet prayers, maybe one-liners. But over the years, I've come to realise that wonderful lady was actually right. Not because I've become one of the people that spend hours praying or shouting loudly or screaming. I do occasionally get passionate with my prayers, but more because I realise that intercession isn't about how we pray, but who we pray for. Intercession quite simply means prayer of others. It means prayer on behalf of or petitioning of others. In the Bible, Esther petitioned the king. She interceded the king on behalf of the Jews. She brought the cry of the Jews in front of the king and became almost the bridge between the two, enabling their freedom. And she stood between the king and the Jews. She interceded. She became that bridge. Our intercessory prayers connect the natural realm with the spiritual realm. They bridge the gap, meaning that heaven can come down to earth. And it sounds a bit far-fetched, doesn't it? How can we bridge that gap? How does prayer bridge the gap between heaven and earth? But let's look at some examples in the Bible. In Exodus 17, 8-16, victory over the Amalekites. This is a story of Moses. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us some men and go out and fight Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of a hill with the rod of God in my hand." And so Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was, when Moses held his hands up, Israel prevailed. And when he let them down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, and so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And so Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. You see how this works? While Moses was praying with his hands in the air, they were winning. But the minute he got tired, they started to lose. And so Aaron and Hur, they stepped in, they held up his hands to intercede with him in order that they could win. And I don't pretend to know how that works. I have images in my head of angels with kind of energy barometers, you know, and that as we pray, it goes up. And when we don't, it goes down. And that's purely my imagination. I'm sure it's not biblical. But this is how, that's the kind of how I imagine that it works. And I do know that prayer for others does work. Prayer for situations and circumstances helps to change things in the heavenly realm so that the final outcome in the earthly realm is changed for the better. Another example in a slightly different way is in Genesis 18, 20 to 33. Here, Abraham intercedes for Sodom. Sodom is a town full of evil and wickedness, and God is determined to just give up and destroy it. He doesn't know what else to do. But Abraham steps in and he starts asking God, is there a righteous man in the city? And God's like, well, maybe. And Abraham's like, well, if there is, how can you destroy it? And eventually, after this ongoing conversation, God decides to spare them. And, you know, there's stories as well. There's so many stories when I started to look at this of things that happen today. For example, did you know that a man named Christian Fuhr, before the fall of the Berlin Wall in an atmosphere of Cold War, called people to pray? At the beginning, there was just a dozen people in a church. But by 7 years later, there was 8,000 people packed into that church praying for the Berlin Wall. And not only that, there were 70,000 people outside the church praying for the Berlin Wall. And 2 weeks later, that number of 70,000 plus 8 had risen to 300,000 people praying. And exactly a month after the 70,000, the Berlin Wall came down. And you can say to me, well, it's a coincidence, maybe, you know. But I'm going to tell you some more stories and more up-to-date stories. In 2001, Godfrey has a friend who had not been home to Nigeria for 26 years. And finally, he had his flight booked. His flight was booked, and he was really excited to be going home after 26 years. And his flight was booked with Sabena Airlines, and it went bust a week before he was due to fly. And he rang Godfrey and in a state and was like, what's going to happen? How can I go? Can you pray? Please pray. And Godfrey and his friends started to pray. And throughout that week, while they prayed, he rang every single airline. Nothing. Every single airline. Absolutely nothing. Until eventually, Ethiopia Airlines said, well, if you come to the airport, maybe, you know, there's nothing. But you could come to the airport, you never know. So he was like, okay, well, whatever. So they were still praying. They're still praying. He went to the airport. He got to the airport, nothing. They allowed him to check in. Still nothing. You ain't going anywhere. Fine, you can check in, but you ain't going anywhere. He got to the departure lounge, still nothing, sat there. The gate is almost closing, and suddenly they came to him and they said, someone's dropped out, you got a seat in first class. Now, what a story, you know? And you can say, well, it didn't happen, but Godfrey sat here, he can tell you it happened. And even closer to home, a few months ago, Ingrid came into the office with me and Adriana. And she's a wonderful lady, and I think she'd be happy for me to say she's exploring faith. And she came in and she was upset, and we were like, what's the matter? And she said, oh, my husband's at Abingdon Park. He was supposed to pick me up, but they've lost the car keys. And I was like, it's okay. She was like, I'm going to walk down there. I was like, it's okay, I'll drop you down. And I said, but before we do, let's pray. And so me and Adriana, we pray. No, first of all, she said, you can't pray for that. I said, oh, yes, we can. We can pray for that. I said, I pray for car parking spaces. I think we can pray for lost keys. And so me and Adriana, we prayed for her. And I took her down there and I dropped her off. And on the way home, I continued to pray for her. And a few days later, I said to her, oh, Ingrid, what happened with the car keys? She said, oh, a blind man with a dog found them. I was like, what? Are you joking? Really? And she said, oh, she said, yeah, we looked for 2 hours, and my daughter by that point was getting upset. And a lady noticed that she was upset, and she came over and she said, what's the matter? And they said, oh, we've lost some keys. And she said, oh, that blind man over there's dog has found some keys. Maybe they're the right ones. So, you know, God, again, came through. But do you know what? When I asked her this week, I said, Ingrid, can I share the story on Sunday? She said, yeah, that's fine. She said, but Mary, do you know what? It wasn't the fact that a blind man found my keys that really struck me about it. She said, it was the peace that came over me when you prayed that stayed with me the whole time we were looking for the keys. She said, even my family were like, why are you not cross? Because she would normally be in that very cross state. And I was just like, isn't that amazing? You know, that God doesn't only just answer the prayer of the lost keys, but he actually just filled her with such a peace the whole time, whether they found them or not, the whole time they were looking. So much so that her family noticed. And I hope by now that you're starting to get the picture that intercession can happen in so many ways and for so many reasons. And we can all do it, no matter who you are or how you pray. If you want to do it quietly on your own, that's fine. If you want to do it in a larger group, that's fine. Whether you're a confident prayer or just a silent one-liner, that's okay too. We can all pray for others and for situations. We can all become the bridge between heaven and earth. We can all ask God to intervene in situations. Sometimes answers come immediately, and sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes prayers are answered in unexpected ways, blind men with dogs. But the key is to pray. And there are some things we can do to help us do this. Firstly, we should get informed. And by that I mean, ask others what's going on. Talk to people. Ask them simple questions. How's your day? How's your week? What have you got on this week? Ask your neighbours how their day has been. Simple questions can help you find out very interesting information about people that you can then go away and pray about. And secondly, get inspired. If there's something you're passionate about, then find out about it, find out what the problems are, and pray about them. If you're passionate about politics, you're mad, but pray about it, find out about it. Find out information. Oh, I don't mean that, oh, that was a joke. Find out about it. If you're passionate about there being peace in the world and about war, then find out about the conflicts. Learn about them so that you can pray about them in an informed way. And you know, more close to home, if you want to pray about the children's ministry, then ask Andrea what the problems are and pray about them. If you want to pray about the youth, then ask Jodie what the problems are and pray about it. If you want to pray for people who come to the cafe, talk to them and say, why do you come? You know, how does it help you? And that will give you information in which you can, and you can be inspired by that. And slowly you'll start to see that prayers are being answered. And write them down, because we forget our memories. If your memory's like mine, it's completely rubbish. But if you write them down, you can go back and read them, and that inspires you. You know, all these stories that I've been telling this morning, it's inspiration, isn't it? It's like, God, if God can give someone a first-class seat on a plane, or find keys with dogs, or he can, you know, bring down the Berlin Wall, then he can do things for others. And thirdly, get indignant. And this is just, don't accept things as they are. Fight, but with prayer. If you feel that someone is weighed down with a burden, just pray for them continuously. Challenge things. Declare Jesus over things. Cry out. Ask God why. God, why? As Abraham did. Declare God's love and truth over things. Declare God's victory, even if you're tired and weary, like Moses. Ask God to break your heart for what breaks his. And he will. I did that once while I was driving. It was a bad idea because I burst into tears. God asked me to do something, and you know, I just immediately got an image that brought me to tears in my mind. So he will. If you ask him to break your heart for what breaks his, you will. If God can open your eyes to things sometimes. You know, you might be walking down the road and you see someone and you get a sense, I need to pray for that person. Pray for them. You may not know what's going on in their lives. You don't need to go over to them and say, let's pray for you. You can just carry on your day and pray for them while you're doing it. And you never know how your prayer may impact them. There is a guy, a Christian guy, and he works in finance in London. And he used to walk to work every morning. And one day he was walking through the streets of London, and it was an area of London where there'd been a bomb attack. And that morning he got an urge to pray for the streets. And he walked around London for an hour, praying. He couldn't stop. He was like, I need to keep praying. And after an hour he was exhausted. And so he just stopped and he went in a cafe shop. And a few minutes later, a car crashed into the cafe shop just up the road. And some things that happened. So following that car, there'd been an ambulance following the car. So immediately an ambulance was on scene. Only 5 people were injured. The previous terrorist attack, 30 people had died. But this one, 5 people were injured. And there was an ambulance there immediately. And he rang his wife. And his wife said, are you okay? I've been praying for you all morning. He was like, yeah. And then he told her what had happened. But she didn't know what was going on. And what he found out later was that car had been driving around those streets for an hour. And you could say that's coincidence, but I can't. It's too much. All these stories, it becomes too much. You have to start to believe it. And so the final thing is to get in sync. You all know what the Bible says, where one or two are gathered. And if you're shy, like I used to be, I still am in my natural form, find a prayer partner who you trust and just practice with them. Pray together. Do it in your own home. Many years ago, a lady called Nubia, who's now in Colombia, and Loretto and I used to meet in Nubia's front room. We used to pray. And we used to pray for the church, the leaders, the community, Samuels, the police, the NHS, whatever it was that came into our minds that morning. But we started to see answers to those prayers. And we're still seeing answers to those prayers that we prayed all those years ago. And do you know what? You don't even have to leave your room to join a group to pray. We have a Tuesday morning prayer meeting. There's Faithful Six who come on. And we'd love to see more people come on to that. It's a great time, and we again pray for all sorts of things: the community, the church, the NHS, the police, the government, Ukraine, whatever it is that we feel that God is placing on our heart in the morning. And you can join and not, you don't have to pray out loud, there's no pressure. You can just join and pray in your head. But I encourage you to find people to pray with. And this morning, we're going to, I felt that we should do some intercession. Scary word, but it's not that scary. And so we're going to go into a time of worship. But as we do, we're going to spend a few minutes. I want you to spend a few minutes just talking to the person next to you. Find out something about them. Whatever it is, ask them how their week is, ask them if they've got something coming up. And just pray for each other. And if that seems like a scary thing to you to do, then you can still just say, how's your week? And then you can pray quietly yourselves. You don't have to pray out loud. And there's no pressure to join in as such. But I want us to practice this intercession this morning. And so I'd like you to find out about each other, the person sitting next to you, and just pray for them. And then we're gonna carry on worshiping and interceding. And if you feel that you want to pray for something particular, maybe you feel God is giving you an urge to come and pray for the police or for the community, or something has come on your heart, then we're gonna have a microphone that you can come and do that if you're brave enough. And if you're not, you can do it in the seats that you're in. But I encourage you to just spend this time of worship just praying for those around you, praying for the community, praying for the person sitting next to you, praying for, while we worship, let's pray for the community. Let's pray for those around us. So, I just encourage you now to just ask the person next to you, if there's something you can pray for, and just pray for them, and then we're going to, the worship team will lead us into worship as well. They're going to play a quiet song while we do that, and then we're going to go into worship and see where it leads.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not check us out on all social media platforms or visit broadmead.org.uk.